A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? How can you say to your neighbor, "Friend, let me take out the speck in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, obviously, Jesus is not big on being judgmental. He's really down on it. This occurs only in the Gospel of Luke, and it's a very special Lucan passage, and it has a lot of reciprocity in it. Judge not, lest you'll be judged. Condemn not. Forgive. Give. Be generous. And it all comes back to you. And then he has the thing about the speck and the log. You know, it's not just about ophthalmology. It's really about judging other people instead of looking at the speck, the flaw in that other person. Wait a minute. Look at your own stuff, the log, or the massive problems or fears or issues you may have yourself, and work on that. Once you've done some healing in that area, then maybe we can talk about your speck. But judge not. Jesus just said, don't do it. Stop it. Except on an individual level, you know, we're all judgmental. We're prejudiced in various ways. We carry a set of beliefs based on our own traumas, our own fears, our own fantasies we spin. We're also all tribal people. I mean, we evolved to be tribal. There's us, and then there's them. There's people like us, then there's those other people, the strangers. Though Jesus, again, in our whole Judeo-Christian culture, is actually telling us to go against that tribalism, to welcome the stranger, to be available, to be open, to let go of our own prejudices, and to not overreact. We tend to also overreact and jump to conclusions. You know, last year, one of the things I gave up for Lent was honking my horn. I gave it up. At least I told myself I would, that and not going to Wendy's. I mean, it was kind of, but not honking my horn in the suburbs, which is a big deal. Except I was actually at an intersection in Bronxville, actually right next to my former church, which is even makes it worse in a way, at a light. I was three cars back at a red light, you know, waiting, just waiting, not honking my horn. And the light changed to green. And I waited. I said, well, I'm not honking my horn. It's Lent. And I waited 5 seconds. Said, what's going on? And I look at the person ahead of me, and then I immediately started spinning a story. This was either, it's probably a millennial person on their cell phone. They're on their cell phone, but except the car in front of her wasn't moving also. I thought, they're both on their cell phones. And these people, it's illegal. You know, I started making a whole narrative. And I have to admit, it was the third week of Lent last year. I honked. That broke me. And nothing happened. And then the other guy behind, he started honking too. He was getting. And then out of the corner of my eye, just slowly, I could see the shape of a walker, a lady who was crossing the street. It took a long time. We missed the light, it turned to red again, you know, and she made it. And the person, it wasn't millennial cell phones or whatever prejudice I was carrying. It was somebody who was considerate enough to allow this lady to go across the street. And we were all waiting for that. To me, it's an example of how we project and overreact based on very limited information. And then we draw conclusions and we judge. You know, I was out in Denver visiting my late sister's grandsons, my great nieces, who happen to be African American. At the time, they were in their upper teens, 18, 19 years old, big guys. And they were showing me around the neighborhood where they live in Aurora, Colorado. And we were going to go to the barber shop because they knew the guy. It was a long story. But we were just walking down the sidewalk, the three of us. And I hadn't experienced this before. As we were walking down the sidewalk, people in front of us, two of them at least, crossed the street. And another group gave us a very wide berth. I was talking to Tajay, and I said, well, what's going on? Why are people moving away from us? He told me, well, you know, that happens all the time. That happens all the time. They make assumptions about who we are. I'd never been on the receiving end of that. But that was a reality. I'm beginning, unfortunately, to hear a little bit about that in my counseling about people who happen to have origins in Asia with this viral stuff. We kind of tribalize, and there's some danger. You know, and there's a real danger of us being judgmental. We naturally are, but Jesus really says stop it. Basically, Jesus says just three things, I think. He's saying stop it. That means refrain. Judge not. Step back a moment. Pause. Just wait a minute. Just wait. Maybe you're wrong. You're not coming to a conclusion yet. We don't know. Pause. Wait. Slowing down as a strategy helps everything. It helps you to respond rather than react. Slowing down. And then Jesus says, look to yourself. Look to your own stuff. What are you bringing in terms of fears and prejudices or impatience? I was bringing my impatience. You know, I'm the guy at CVS who's looking for, where's the line at Duane Reade? Like, who's in charge here? I want to run the place. You know, I'm impatient. I want to control it. I'm the guy who's in a hurry on vacations. You know, like, what's the rush? Slow down. Know your own tendencies, your impatience. Know yourself. You know, I'm often amused by looking at restaurant reviews on Yelp or TripAdvisor for hotels or restaurants. There's all these positive ones. Then you get a really negative one. And I'm reading that and I'm saying, you know, did this person just have a really bad day? You know, what? They were offended. They took offense by something that happened at the restaurant or the hotel. And I'd love to see a negative review where the person says, and I've been actually writing a few of these myself, which is saying, you know, it wasn't great, but I know I was in a bad mood myself when I went in to the restaurant. My own stuff. What about Jesus is saying, the log in your eye. And thirdly, to step back and see the whole picture. Step back and see the whole picture. Some of this, I think, is a function of having a spiritual discipline, which Jesus had, and I think it would be great if we all had, of meditation, of moving back and slowing down and moving into stillness. You know, the Taoist writer has this great verse, which I like and sometimes use in my own meditation, which is, break into the peace within, hold attention in stillness, and in the world outside, you will ably master the 10,000 things, which is China is in the world, in all the things that hit us in the world. Break into the peace within, hold attention in stillness, and in the world outside, you'll ably master the 10,000 things. Now, that's on an individual level. On a church level, can churches be judgmental too and tribal? Yes, they really can, especially churches that have closed systems. By that, I mean you're either in it or you're not in it. Either you're saved or you're damned. You're in or you're out. You're a true believer or you're a heretic. Churches can be that way, and sometimes they can judge others. But I think one of the things I'm proudest of at Marble is that this is not a closed system. It's an open system. This is one of the most diverse and welcoming communities I know. And it's a kind of image for the beloved community that Marble is. And it's a witness, I think, for the rest of the city, for the world, that you can have a mosaic of hospitality, of goodwill, of welcome. And that you don't have to believe one thing, that we're unique and special, and we honor your conscience. It's welcoming, it's diverse. At Marble Church, I think we're all on a spiritual journey, uniquely ours, but we're doing it together, doubts and all, with our doubts. You know, the opposite of faith is not doubt, it's indifference or a fake compliance. The opposite of faith is not doubt, it's indifference. Doubt means you're actually engaged in some way. Doubt is an indicator of a spiritual desire to know and touch God. The Thomas story, which we heard, I think, last week. Thomas, and he became the negative guy in John's Gospels, the doubting Thomas. But actually, he wanted to touch God. He said, wait, I can't believe until I touch, I want to touch him. So this doubt can be part of your own spiritual desire to touch God, to know. I want to know more. I question it. I'm actively engaged. All of us come to God in our own uniqueness, and we're loved by God in our uniqueness as children of conscience. Conscience is a great gift, and it's our authentic struggle to believe, to know, and to experience God. Very important. And it's also important that the fact that where we are in this moment of time, we're in tribal turmoil. Our country is divided in many ways, politically, and we're on the verge of so many weird things going on. We're on the verge of this viral thing, which may or may not be a pandemic. We're on the verge of an election. We don't know what's going to happen. We're on the verge of economic turmoil. There's a lot of uncertainty. So I would tell you that the best spiritual equipment to bring to this time of uncertainty is to slow down and not rush to judgment. It's to find compassion and to be considerate, and at times to yield to other people, to put other people first, to let it go, to let the judgment go, and find compassion, and be generous, as Jesus is saying. That's the biggest one in that verse, by the way. If you're generous and big-hearted, not just materially, but spiritually, it's going to come back to you. It comes back God is also generous to you, more than you can imagine, more than you had hoped. If we can find that compassion and also be a community, a family of inclusiveness, we're modeling here a community of caring and a community of growth together as unique people of faith. The bottom line for all this is really love. So faith is not just a set of beliefs or a pretended certainty. It's what you give your heart to. In the Dutch Reformed tradition, when you agree to the ordination vows, you say, with all my heart, I say yes. With all my heart. Faith is what you give your heart to. So in these uncertain times, let's give our hearts to love. Amen.